Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Hey, y'all. Who dat, and welcome in. I'm Jeff Nowak, and this is Inside Black and Gold. I'm coming at you solo for this episode. This is part two of our Meet the UDFAs series. Is it technically a series if there's only two games? Project, whatever you want to call it. We went through all the offensive UDFAs in the earlier episode this week, and this time we're going to go through the seven defensive UDFAs and also the punter, because that's just how the numbers matched up. I want to apologize in advance for anyone watching this on YouTube, because you have happened upon the one time every 2 to 3 years that I don't have a full beard. I just got bored yesterday and I decided to shave it all off. And now it's like, you know, a rainforest, you know, every now and then it has to burn down so it can grow back. Right. It's kind of how I approach it. But either way, same guy, just is look different. This is what my chin looks like, but I digress. We're going to get into a lot of stuff in this episode. First things first, I do want to give a couple of notes. We talked about this in part one, but Saints rookie mini camp is coming up. It's going to be running May 10th through 12th. So that's a big reason why I want to go through all the UDFAs, because the 16 players who are going to be out there that you would anticipate would continue on to OTAs, would continue on to mandatory minicamp, and then would continue on to the full training camp, which would be out in Irvine. Now, if you combine those with the draft picks, that's 23 rookies who will be out there that we know a little bit about. Right? Then there's going to be a whole host of tryout players who are just looking for a shot, looking to show what they can do. And that's going to be something that we can look a little bit more closely in once everything gets here. But I just wanted to give you a better picture of, you know, who's going to be out there, who's going to be wearing these numbers. One bit of news that has come out over the last couple of days, I think I had mentioned earlier in the week that we were looking at potentially an episode late in the week to kind of break down the schedule when it comes out. Well, unlike what everyone basically expected, including teams around the NFL, the 2024 schedule will not be coming out until May 15th. Now, that's a little later than most years. And that seems to be the going trend over the last couple of years, as the schedule comes out later and later and later. And the Saints have a couple interesting matchups that I'm really intrigued to see where they land. Now, if you go back to last year's schedule, the Saints had really one primetime game. and it was week two Monday Night Football, and that was because of Bryce Young. It was Bryce Young's home debut for the Panthers, so they could have been playing anybody. It would have been a Monday Night Football game. So that wasn't even really as Saints a draw that got them to Monday Night Football. The other two quote-unquote primetime games were Thursday Night Football, which I don't really consider, you know, when you talk about primetime, yes, the time slot would be considered primetime, but Thursday Night Football, call it what you want. It is not Sunday night. It is not Monday night. And it certainly isn't the biggest time slot, because that actually belongs to, I want to say, Fox Afternoon. One of those two broadcasts is typically the highest rated broadcast of the week. And the Saints got zero of those games. So I would consider an afternoon game a better placement in terms of people actually want to watch these games than a Thursday night game, which most teams don't want to be on in the first place. I would probably guess that 32 teams would prefer to not have to play a Thursday night at all. So one game that should be interesting to watch, Saints Cowboys. And it's interesting not only because of the matchup, but because that's a potential Thanksgiving game. And I would not be stunned to see the Saints end up on Thanksgiving again, facing off with the Cowboys. That's one to watch. They also rematch with the Packers again in Lambeau. So that's going to be an intriguing kind of go back there and see if you can change your fate a little bit. But the two really exciting matchups, Saints host both of them. And it is Raiders at Saints, because it is Derek Carr's first game against the Raiders since leaving prior to last year. Obviously, there's interest there. Then Broncos at Saints. It'll be Sean Payton's first game against the Saints and first game in the Superdome since he left. And those are the type of games that draw ratings, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints do end up getting a little bit more love in the national TV audience. But I digress. It's really all I wanted to get into, because we're probably not going to have a full preview of the schedule episode. The first episode next week, I'm going to want to get into the rookie minicamp stuff. And then the next episode is going to be going over the schedule. So I think that's just a good primer for what to expect. And this is going to be our shorter segment in terms of the Meet the UDFAs, because there's only two. So I figured I could give you a little bit of that. And now we will dive fully into the Meet the UDFA segment. We're going to start with the smallest guy, but he might have the best shot of anybody to make the roster outright in terms of winning a competition. And that's going to be Vanderbilt's Matt Haball. And you know, you might not recognize this name if you're an SEC guy, maybe you will, but it's just another Australian punter in the SEC. The SEC is loaded with them. Basically, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if more than half of college punters right now are former Australian rules football players, and Matt Haball is one of those guys. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, why would we look to Matt Haball when you just spent a year watching Lou Hedley? And I would agree with you. I think that his route to the roster is not necessarily clear, because Lou Hedley is going to have the inside track for good reason. He played an entire NFL season. I wouldn't say that he was greeted by shock and awe by the people watching him punt, but I do think he was a lot more consistent than he got credit for, and he did the things that Darren Rizzi needed him to do. That said, last year he was competing against Blake Gillikin, who I think when you look at it in hindsight, Darren Rizzi had no interest in Blake Gillikin's style of punting, right? Darren wanted to punt a certain way, and so as long as Lou proved he could do it at a satisfactory level, he won the job, and that's what happened. Now, there are areas where you would like to see Lou get better, particularly in, you know, net yardage, and I think that's where you're going to come into. And now you have two punters who punt the same way, who punt the way Darren Rizzi wants the Saints to punt, and whoever's better, I think you go with. Now, better is relative. I think better equals more consistent. And the most consistent you can be at a certain level is going to win the day. So if Matt shows up and has some really nice kicks, but then has a lot of inconsistency, then I don't think you win that job. But either way, I think he does have a chance. You know, it's a guy who got recruited by Lane Kiffin to Florida Atlantic, obviously transferred to Vanderbilt in his final college season and really saw his numbers climb up. He averaged 47.6 yards per punt last year, 24 kicks inside the 20. Compare that to Lou Hedley, who had 43. To Lou Hedley, who averaged about 43 yards per kick, 31 inside the 20. Now, I do think that the net yardage, while I think being pretty telling, is not doesn't have a booming leg. But the Saints did also punt an inordinate amount of times from the 50-yard line or around that area, right? So when you're trying to pin somebody inside the 20 from the 45, for example, and you kick it to the 15, right? That's a 40-yard punt. That's a good punt. That's a good result. It's not going to help your net punting yardage, right? But it is a successful punt. So I do think that the net yardage is a little bit misleading at certain points. And what Lou did better than anybody I've seen doing for the Saints in a while is he eliminated kickoffs. So I think he allowed the second fewest kickoff return yards in the NFL last year. It was the primary goal of Darren Rizzi, I believe, going into last season was get rid of returns, eliminate that variable and see what you can do. And I think he did that. So we're going to see. But Matt knows Lou Headley. They're both Aussie guys. One of the things that Darren Rizzi said to me about Charlie Smith and Lou Headley prior to the draft is it's funny because you're going to hear these two guys talking to each other. They'll both be speaking English and you have no clue what either guy is saying. Going to throw Matt Hayball into that conversation as well. Got a pretty thick Australian accent and it's just going to be, you know, going back and forth. But again, yeah, these know each other. It's going to be a friendly competition. They're going to help each other and may the best man win. He can kick the spiral punt. He can kick the end over end punt. He's going to look similar to Lou. Like if you're hoping that you're going to watch Matt play and suddenly it's not going to be this rugby style kicking, I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you, but it is going to be that. That's what he is. He struggled a bit in the Shrine Bowl. And I think, you know, you look at, okay, you know, do you draft a punter in the seventh round, right? Do you look at that? I think that hurt his chances. You know, like a guy like Torrey Taylor obviously came off the board. You know, you do see punters drafted. The Saints in recent years, obviously going back to Thomas Morstead, they drafted a punter, but you don't see this team draft specialists really. You see them target guys, and that's what you got here. So I'm interested to see Matt kick. You know, I think there's a scenario where he plays very well, but he doesn't win the job because you just don't want to sit for another season with a rookie specialist. And that is a significant question, right? If you don't have to sit through a rookie specialist and constantly be concerned, well, what if he hits a rough patch? Well, how consistent can we hope him to be? He's got to learn on the job. He's got to learn how to be a pro, this and that, and this and that, and this and that. You can eliminate those variables by going with the guy you know. And I have a feeling that's what's going to be what ends up happening. But either way, I think that punting competition is going to be interesting because we'll be able to see them punt the same way. When it was Lou versus Blake, these are two completely different style punters. And you can only really figure it out that way. Now, moving on, one more player in this segment. And I put him here not because he has anything to do with Matt Hayball, but just because he is a tweener and I'm not sure he fits in a grouping with any of the other six guys on this list. And that's Isaiah Stallbird. He's a linebacker out of South Dakota State, but he's 6'1", 215 pounds. He started his career at Nebraska. I think he was a walk-on, and then he ultimately transferred to South Dakota State. He's 6'1", 215 pounds, and that doesn't exactly scream linebacker to you. It screams very undersized linebacker, and that's because he came up as a defensive back. He came up as a safety and was converted to linebacker at South Dakota State. So by every sense of the term, this man is a tweener, but there's a chance that works to his advantage. And I'll just let him explain. Here's Isaiah talking about the transition from defensive back to linebacker and how it went for him.
Do you see yourself at the next level more at, you know, safety or linebacker? I've seen you listed as both.
You know, I feel comfortable being able to play both. I feel like I'm a player that can play both and be utilized in different positions. So, you know, whatever coaching staff asks me, I'm going to do it because, you know, I just want to play ball and just keep showing people that I belong and, you know, a great resource for a team as far as playing multiple positions and on special teams as well. So
what was that transition like going from safety to linebacker?
Yeah, I definitely say, you know, for me, it was pretty smooth because I was already a physical safety. And so I had no problem being in the box whatsoever, but definitely learning more run fits and, you know, just the scheme of the D-line and, you know, a couple different fits. Other than that, it was pretty natural. I mean, my first – when we played in the national championship in that FCS spring season, you know, that week leading up to it, they told me they're going to use me at Sam. So basically learned all their stuff in a week and rotated at that. And then, you know, after that, got moved to Sam linebacker. And then, you know, I've been used as safety as well in the slot as dime nickel. So, you know, it was a very easy transaction because I also had that knowledge of, what the DBs were doing behind me. So, you know, I just, you know, trust that they're doing their job, know where they're supposed to be, you know, just continue to develop myself. So.
All right. So now, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, you know, it's interesting. You don't see a lot of conversions in that way. You don't see a lot of safeties converting to linebacker. A lot of times you'll see box safeties, right? They'll still be called a safety. Like Isaiah Simmons is a good example. He's an undersized safety, but he was an undersized linebacker. And it's tough to find spots for those guys in the NFL. You know, it's in a lot of instances, you're basically just a defensive back who doesn't play defensive back. So are you kind of a slot linebacker? You would be expected to be a little better in coverage, but can you also hold up and run support to the point that we can keep you on the field or the point that we can find a roster spot for you, right? Isaiah Simmons was a top 10 pick, and he couldn't find a spot with the Cardinals. They ended up trading him to the Giants. He did latch on there, but you see the issues for a guy that does not fit in any particular position. That said, he ran 4.43 in the 40, 37.8 vertical leap, 18 reps at 225. He is a very good athlete. If you want to know more about him, he's a really, really interesting story. There's a lot available. He grew up in Minnesota, came up through the foster system, very humble beginnings. He's an easy guy to root for. He battled through a lot. He's got a young son. His name is Kendricks. If you go and you watch the full video from the Saints during his introductory interview, Kendricks makes an appearance. And, you know, it's you look at him and you say, okay, it's a really high character player. He's got a lot of versatility. And this is going to come into play when we talk about someone later on this list as well. For Isaiah to make an impact on this roster, it's probably going to be because you are devoting a lot more resources to that kind of hybrid safety linebacker position, a guy who can go out and make a tackle in space. And that's in part because the new kickoff rule really, really values those players, guys who can run downfield, get there, be athletic, track a guy down, and make a tackle. That's the difficulty. You don't only just have to get there. You don't only have to just be an athlete and get there. You also have to make that tackle. And that's why, so the guy I look at would be, hey, everyone's saying, hey, Dallin Hulker is going to make this team because he's an excellent tight end. And to that, I would say, yes, he is a very good tight end, but he's not going to make the roster on pass catching and blocking ability alone. He's got to also prove that he can get out there in special teams and go make a tackle, right? Because he's not going to be impacting the field as a rookie UDFA as a pass catcher. I mean, sure, maybe there could be instances, but that's typically going to be because some guy got hurt and you're not planning your initial 53-man roster on, well, if this guy gets hurt, we've got him already. No, you're planning your initial 53-man roster on who can make an impact on the field this year. Okay. So for Isaiah to make this roster, it's going to be because he really stands out in that role. And I think there's going to be a handful of players who maybe we're not expecting to land on the roster right now who really set themselves apart as elite special teams contributors in an area of the game that we know Darren Rizzi and the Saints are going to highly, highly emphasize this year, because this is Darren Rizzi's baby. He knows how important this is. And there's going to be two elements this year that were not there previously. It's going to be who's got the best returners and who's got the best coverage teams. Because not only does this open up the ability to break big returns and get more opportunities for big returns, it also opens up the ability for the teams that are elite in coverage to go down and make those tackles and really pin teams back on the goal line that you were not able to before. It levels the playing field on both sides of that equation, and it also creates opportunities for guys like Isaiah. So again, I fully encourage you to go get familiarize yourself with his story. He's a guy who's played a ton of games, 52 games in college, 238 tackles, one interception. He had 80 tackles in his last season at San Diego State Jackrabbits, in case you're wondering. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. Again, we went through Matt Haball, the punter, and Isaiah Stallbird, who is a linebacker who's more like a safety, a really athletic guy who I think could end up making an impact on special teams. So he'll be a guy to watch. But all right, let's go to the break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the defensive line. There are two defensive ends, one defensive tackle, and some really intriguing options for the Saints as they move forward. But again, this is Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak. I do not have a beard, but I promise I am the same person. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow the show at Saints_pod. Again, we are going through all 16 UDFAs. We've already hit 10 of them. That means there are 6 remaining defensive ends and defensive backs. We're going to do it all. Stick around.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.